Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Petri Dish, the podcast that dissects science and takes a look down the microscope at controversial topics in research. I'm Alice Gray and I'm joined by
Vicky Blight
and
Ty Aziz.
And we've just spent what feels like a fantastic month celebrating women in STEM by sharing their stories.
Go
and
girls.
Hopefully creating some role models for people, which is cool. We've had some amazing guests as well. We've had Angela Shiani, who is an author, a science journalist, broadcaster.
I'm bowing to Angela.
We're all bow.
We've had Melissa Christina Marquez, shark marine biologist.
Amazing.
Who is one of my girl crushes, ultimate girl crushes.
Did you tell her this?
I didn't, but I feel like she might
She might know now.
And she also has a podcast as well, which is cool that we're crossing the podcast sort of...
Crossing the stream. Don't cross the stream. No, can cross the streams.
Like a shark. They don't cross streams. They're not in streams. But yeah, we've spent a good month sharing lots of women about STEM. And so... we've never actually talked too much in depth about our own stories, really.
Well, let's start with you.
Me?
Yeah, so you did the brain, didn't you?
Little old me. So yeah, so I studied neuroscience at Cardiff University, and I've kind of like become a bit of a journey, I suppose, in that in school I wanted to become a doctor or a scientist, and I ended up studying science. And then in my final year of uni, I was really hyper aware of gender issues in science. And so I started a blog, and it really sort of changed everything about my career and what I do. Because I thought I was just shouting into the voids of the internet about my frustrations around no one talking about gender issues and how it was holding us back. But it turns out people were listening, and I ended up sort of getting more into science communication side of things, because I really liked writing and I really liked talking to people about science and increasing the representation of women in STEM. And I thought, well, I'm a woman in STEM, I'll go and
fly
do it.
Fly the flag.
Yeah, so...
so what were the issues that really kind of... What made you start the blog?
Well, I think through my whole science education, I'd had 4 interactions with female teachers or lecturers.
Wow.
And that didn't really give me a good idea of where I could go. And so I started looking into the gender issues, because a part of my degree was looking at the issues facing science. So we looked at animal testing, philosophy and how these interact with science. And then I was really excited, because I was a big old feminist at uni, that there was...
you still are.
I'm a huge feminist. But I was like... really excited, because one of the topics was women in science. I was like, oh, thank God, something I can really, like, you know, get behind. And it was 30 seconds, one slide in a 4-hour lecture.
What?
And I went home, I stormed home like the fiery redhead I am, opened my laptop, and I was like, someone needs to talk about this, because you've got a whole room full of students who are about to embark on a degree. And I'd read so much about how if women know the barriers that they're going to face in industry, they're prepared and they're more likely to overcome them. And I thought, you've got a whole group of people who haven't even started their career yet who could be being prepared for it. So I started doing that and shouting out into the community, and then also getting into talking about science. And that's how I've ended up sort of doing podcasting, YouTubing. I'm a BBC expert woman, so I go on programmes and I talk about science to people and issues facing women in STEM. So I've kind of come on quite a journey, I think, really. And it's been hugely rewarding, I think. But
do you think your kind of love of writing and sort of expression of science is why you maybe turned away from being a doctor and went down more the neuroscience? Were you interested in human behaviour as much as the physiology of the brain?
I think so. I think I always enjoyed psychology, and I really was interested. I had a specific interest in autism and Savant syndrome. I knew a lot of people who were autistic or on the spectrum, and that fascinated me. And that's why I love science. I always say it is that you can find something you're interested in and you can get obsessed with it. And as someone who has quite an obsessive personality, like I can't leave a task until it's done. That sort of obsess over something until you know everything about it is really great. Mm. And so why did you get into science then? What's your journey?
I have quite a similar story to you. So I always just really loved biology. I always found humans really interesting. So I studied human physiology during my undergraduate, and I just loved learning about how our bodies work and different cultures, and that kind of ties into some of my interest in like anthropology and a bit of neuroscience as well. But then during my second year, I was given the opportunity to do a placement year as part of my degree. And a lot of people went into clinical trials research or industrial pharmaceutical placements, and that just didn't really appeal to me. And I think I had quite a similar story to you of I'd had experience of working with different researchers for different projects while I was at university. And I had a really specific moment where I just thought, you know, there's all this amazing research going on in the department and the people that I'm working with, but no one's hearing about it. And I wanted to tell people about it in public who might not understand that work, but in a really fun way. And when I was younger, I used to do a lot of stand-up poetry. So it's where you write poetry, but it's performed in theatres and on stage, so it's not written. And I just had this crazy idea of, like, how could I mix science and stand-up poetry? And then it just turned into this huge public event in a theatre in Leeds, and it was so much fun. And that was the first time I'd ever done kind of, like, a science communication project, and I just really, really enjoyed it. So then, after I finished my undergraduate, I decided to pursue a master's in the subject. And now I've gotten really into filmmaking. I don't write poetry anymore, but I follow Sam Illingworth, who is a great science poetry writer. Definitely check him out. And I just love how you can mix creativity with science. I think they really go hand in hand, and a lot of people don't realise that they're not completely separate, like a lot of people think. Scientists can be creative, and if you are creative, you can be a scientist as well. All you have to do is ask questions and be curious. So that is my mission in life, is to get scientists being as creative as possible, or at least help people understand that they can go together.
And I mean, you're a testament to that. You're a creative person.
I'm the you know, typical on your reports for however many years it would come back as Victoria is an all-rounder. but yeah, and I think in some ways that I always saw that as a negative thing, because, you know, when you're younger and people, you know, they're either really sporty, like they're really good at sport, or they're really good at painting, art, or they love reading, and you can just see they've got such a natural gift with words or poetry, and or an out and out, why this, why that, you know, completely obsessed with the finite detail of science. And for me, I just loved learning. And I know that sounds really geeky, but I did, and I really enjoyed school. And as I mentioned previously, when I was young, I loved, you know, like stage stuff and singing, and I did a lot of drama and like, you know, I was obsessed with musical theatre and I wanted to be a drama teacher for ages. And then as I got older, and I mentioned my science teacher, my chemistry teacher previously, you know, I was sort of year nine probably, and then started to think, hey, you know, she's so enthusiastic about this subject, like it's so much fun. And actually I feel like I'm really learning, and I felt like I was learning faster in this area than I was in the other things I was doing. And I don't know, for a while I wanted to be a doctor or a dentist, maybe a pharmacist. And I was starting to explore all of these science jobs and thinking, well, you know, who could I look to sort of see, I'd go to a pharmacy. But most of the pharmacists seemed to be male at that point. I don't know why, but they did. It seemed most of them were men, and the dispense assistants were women, you know, and there was that kind of... And then you look at dentists, and again, they seem to be mostly men. And I went to dentistry open days at universities, and again, predominantly men, you know, quite a few women, but mainly men. And I don't know, you again, if you don't see it, can you be it? And I'm not sure. But anyway, I did my science A-levels and I decided to do a degree in biochemistry and medical molecular biology because I was really fascinated in genetics, and I kind of pinpointed that was the specialism that I wanted to do. And I was really lucky. I studied at Cardiff, and actually I would say there was quite a balance between the lecturers that were male and female in biosciences in Cardiff. They were at that point I was doing my degree. So I had a lot of great female lecturers that were specializing in all kinds of then sort of fringe areas off you know the main track, if you like. And and I actually did a year in research, which was being led by a female biochemist. So again, that it made it all seem very possible. And whilst doing all of this, I was doing student radio because I love my music and I love performing and all that kind of stuff. And the two things sometimes were in conflict with each other because of just time when you're a student. But I felt when I finished, I wanted to finish my degree. I was never going to step away from the degree, but I wanted to explore where the radio thing went.
And, you know, you're only a radio presenter now, so...
Only a radio presenter. But, you know, and it's nearly 15 years since I graduated. And I've been a radio for, probably 16 years now. So... But at the same time, my love of science hasn't gone away.
No.
And if I ever have the opportunity to talk about science or to, talk about my degree or my dissertation and various things, you know, people get surprised. They don't expect that to be a part of you because, you know, I'm talking about music or I'm you know, discussing news or whatever. It's quite different to actually sit down and talk about science, but that part of my brain and that enjoyment hasn't gone away just because I don't do it for a job. I still look at the world and ask why and want to explore and actually get behind stuff. And I feel hugely motivated and encouraged especially when you see young girls going into engineering and physics and astrophysics and these areas of science that, again, girls don't tend to naturally drift towards because if you don't see it, you can't be it.
Yeah, and I mean, you're doing a podcast now, so...
Look at that.
Yeah, so it's been a really great month just celebrating women and women in STEM, like the women behind the science and the women in STEM. So I'm really hoping that we have showcased them as much as they deserve and hopefully formed a few role models in the process. So until next time, see you later.